meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. When you carry on a conversation with someone you don't know, how does it go? To start out by talking about the weather, or maybe about asking where they're from. These are common icebreakers, and beyond that, for many of us, it can seem difficult to know what to say or how to say it. The same holds true with talking to God in prayer. As Christians, we know that it is important, but still we find ourselves asking these questions. What should I say? How should I say it? Are you sure prayer really works? These thoughts can interfere with starting a conversation with God. Unfortunately, this is more common than you think. It's been at least 3 years ago since a couple very dear to me for months tried to start a family. Then their excitement of a conception ended with a disheartening 12th week miscarriage. I included this couple in my daily prayers that God would bless them with a healthy child. Day after day, I prayed the same prayer as they encountered DNA issues and sought medical intervention. Time went by, and I bet I prayed this request 1,000 times. Sure enough, in God's time, he did bless them with conception once again and a healthy pregnancy. By God's grace, this happy little boy now is so healthy. At his four-month checkup the other day, he weighed 20 pounds. My friends, prayer does work, and this is just one of many glorious testimonies I could tell, and I would love to hear yours. I do have other prayers, though, where God replied, not yet, and some that he said no. But that's okay. It is for a reason I do not know or understand. However, I know God's plan is from the love of a father, and I know he has heard me and did not tune me out. I just continue praying his will be done. This is what we are taught as we look at the second part of our gospel lesson today in Luke 11. A neighbor might get up in the middle of the night to give you a loaf of bread because you are annoying and persistent. God, on the other hand, will give you what you ask because of the love of a father. Unlike the grumpy neighbor, he wants to help us. We are told in verses 9 and 10, and I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. God wants us to ask, seek, and knock through a conversation with him. I know he has time and wants to hear all our prayers, no matter how big or small, no matter what we have done. This relationship with God is called faith. Through our faith, we can be assured that God is not the stumbling block in our relationship with him. We are. Through faith, we are filled with Christ. We can call God our Father, and we can give our request to him through prayer and develop that personal relationship with him. This is where the first part of the gospel comes in. We learn in Luke 11, verse 1, that Jesus was finishing a private conversation with his father when one of the disciples made this request. Lord, teach us to pray. Now, these disciples were not strangers to prayer. No doubt they had been taught proper Jewish prayer since childhood. But Jesus prayed differently. As they overheard his prayers or prayed along with him, their desire to pray more like him increased. They asked Jesus to tutor them in growing closer to God, his Father. So the disciples sat at Jesus' feet, like Mary did in last week's gospel, to learn a timeless lesson of how, for what, and to whom we should pray. And what better way to dwell in our Father's presence than to have a conversation with him in prayer. I teach my Wednesday night school religion class with 6th and 7th graders how to pray using the Acts method to construct a prayer. You'll find an insert in your bulletin that you can use to follow along and then take it home for reference later. Using the acronym of ACTS, this method of prayer starts with A, adoration. Here we give God praise and honor for who He is as our Lord. Then C, confession, honestly dealing with our sins. It is also the element of prayer where we can tell God, I'm afraid, I'm weak, or I don't know what to do. Next is T, thanksgiving. Pretty straightforward. Giving thanks for blessings, for His presence all around us, where God has been at work in our lives. Then ending the prayer with the letter S, supplication. Having adored, confessed our condition, and thanked Him for the gifts of the past, we are now able to come to Him in real supplication, praying for the needs of others and yourself. Not that a prayer needs to be constructed in this fashion, but it does include the elements important for prayer habits that helps us keep our mind focused on that conversation with God. It takes time, discipline, accountability, and practice, but will help in developing everyday prayer. It was humbling to watch the change in my students' willingness to pray as the school year progressed by using this acronym to build their confidence in developing the gift of prayer. Prayer is indeed a gift from the Holy Spirit to us and a gift we can give to each other when there is nothing left to give. One of God's commands for us is to pray. That is why Jesus says more than once in Matthew 6 the words, when you pray, not if you pray. Other places in Scripture encourage us to pray as well, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people, Ephesians 6:8. Pray continually, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray, James 5:13. Be joyful in hope, patience in affliction, faithful in prayer, Romans 12:12. It is clear that God is telling us through Scripture that He wants us to talk to Him. However, sometimes I think we view prayer like the spare tire in our car. We are glad it's there, but hope we never have to use it. Or is prayer something we use when there's a roadside crisis, so to speak? Our 911 call we use only in case of an emergency. We must instead think of prayer as our steering wheel, something to hang on to that will guide us where we are going, a key component on getting us there safely. We cannot stay on our path without it. The road of our life and others depends on you and everyone else giving careful attention to that steering wheel that they are hanging on to. And so it is with prayer. Prayer is our spiritual CPR in Christian living, reviving our heart. Martin Luther once said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible to be alive without breathing. I admit, there are times when I get short of breath and could use some of that CPR. No doubt and fear enter my mind, and my conscience taps me on the shoulder and whispers in my ear, am I taking my request to God? Am I asking for a bit too much? Should I really be asking God for that? All this time I have been praying, is this call to God a dropped call? All these things possibly entered the disciples' mind as well. They did not ask Jesus to teach them how to preach or teach. Hearing Jesus pray made them aware that they needed help in the practice of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And indeed he did. Through the 3 years of Jesus' teaching, these disciples witnessed Jesus praying for others, with others, and alone, at great lengths. The Lord's Prayer, as we call it from the Gospels, was the ultimate pattern of prayer Jesus taught when asked how to pray. So, Jesus, the master of all prayer, said in Matthew 6:9, pray like this. As he taught us what we call the Lord's Prayer, which might seem to some worshipers like a hard to focus on pre-written prayer uttered from memory. However, if you're wanting to apply what the Lord's Prayer teaches towards our present moment of crisis, or any moment of crisis for that matter, and are seeking a power pledge of submission to God in the midst of a painful, uncertain time like we have at the present, then listen closely to what Jesus teaches and says to you and I as we pray through every portion of the Lord's Prayer, like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, pray a prayer of adoration and praise. Praise God for who he is, our Heavenly Father. Hallowed be your name. Pray a prayer for the glory of God, praising him with admiration and respect. Thy kingdom come. Pray a prayer for more of God's ways on earth. Pray to acknowledge God as a sovereign ruler of your life, desiring more of his kingdom throughout the world. Thy will be done. Pray a prayer for God's plan, not yours or mine. Pray to submit your will to God, following where he leads you through trust and obedience. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray a prayer for God's provision in your life and others in need. Forgive us our trespasses. Pray a prayer of confession and repentance. Pray to confess your sins and ask for God's forgiveness. Pray to repent, turning from those sins and walking closer to God's path. As we forgive those who trespass against us, pray a prayer to forgive others. Pray for God's help in forgiving others and living a life of love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pray a prayer for safety from evil. Pray for God's help in protection from sin and temptation. For thine is the kingdom, forever and ever. Remind yourself, God has the power to do far more than you can imagine. Pray for all things to be done to God's glory and believe that God is faithful to answer your prayers. Once again, prayer is at the center of our relationship with God. Through faith, we pray because God loves us, and we pray because we believe that God hears and acts on our prayers. I firmly believe this to be true. However, at times it is hard to keep our mind focused during that conversation with God. Our mind can drift into what is going on that day or many, many other things. Luther once said he wished he could pray like his dog watched him eat sausage. Now that would be a focused prayer. I had a theological discussion with a friend from another denomination some time ago. We talked about our differences in baptism and communion and why we have a Lenten season. But what I recall to be the most confusing was he told me in his church they only prayed the Lord's Prayer once a month. When I asked why, he told me it's because in his mind, when they pray it so frequently, you cannot focus and pray that prayer from the heart. Well, I had to think on that one for a few days, and I admit I've recited that prayer from memory and not dug deep within my heart to pray it. Since then, I make an intentional effort to give God my undivided attention. God used that conversation with my friend to teach me how to pray. My friends, use what God gives you to open up those lines of communication. Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Use prayer daily to talk with God. Prayer will clear your vision. Prayer will quiet your heart with His presence. Prayer will teach you to wait patiently for His timing. God just wants to hear from you. You will soon find out how many of those prayers are answered, and you will soon be telling your own testimony. God, our loving Heavenly Father, wants to communicate with us through prayer, an eternal life-changing gift. He is there to listen. He is ready to act. Through faith, we will be able to continue our heavenly walk with God through those lines of communication because Jesus so graciously taught us to pray. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.